Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey there, American Horror Story fans. We got a confession to make. And so does Rita, aka Dee Dee. And so does her dad. And so does Montana. And so does Margaret. We got a lot of confessions this episode. We're going to be talking about all of them. So stay tuned as we're talking about American Horror Story 1984, Season 9, Episode 5, Red Dawn.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody! Woo-hoo!
Ooh. I love this. Is like such like beach music, you know, like gay party vibes.
It's like the soundtrack that you listen to on your way to go camping.
Totally, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was
the camp
stretch.
That never lets you leave.
Purgatory camp.
Well, welcome everybody to the American Horror Story After Show. We're talking about American Horror Story 1984, which is the ninth season of American Horror Story.
I love that.
9 years. Ninth. Going up on almost a decade. Oh, and we're about halfway through this season. We are on the fifth episode.
99th episode, too.
That 99th episode ever of American Horror Story. Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like we're a part of history.
A little bit.
Like, a little bit.
I feel like maybe we should have some cake next week or something. I don't know.
A little wine celebratory.
I'm Elena Jordan, always talking about cake and wine and whatnot, and very excited because I am joined with the full panel today.
Yes.
The horror expert, go-to aficionado of all things spooky and scary. The man of your nightmares, even though he is Ollie Dreamer. Ollie Dreamer.
I like that.
Hey.
That was so sweet, Elena.
I feel like you're the horror expert, though. I'm your apprentice, if anything, you know.
You make me look good. You just say things that make me sound like I know what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Even it's like full Xavier vibes with the vest and the flannel.
It's like dope vest. I know. I'm loving it. Hotter than the oven that they shoved Xavier in.
Damn.
Dang it. So I think he looks like the wolf in like Little Red Riding Hood. Seriously.
I like it.
Very versatile.
Like Michael Jackson Thriller?
Yes.
Cool.
So many things. Basically, we're saying if you are listening to us on one of our multi-podcast platforms and not watching the YouTube, go ahead and click on that YouTube link too. Right. Look how good Ollie looks.
Thank you. Okay, enough about me.
Rest of my beautiful panel here, Kayla Renee.
We're here, little me.
Just a little neglected. It's fine.
Kayla, of course, you guys have looked for multiple seasons of American Horror Story.
What's up, you guys?
Always making everything a little bit brighter, a little bit prettier, a little bit happier.
Bringing headscarf vibes.
I love it.
Yes.
And keeping us happy. Happy Cappy. Alexa Caffiello.
Back from Vegas.
Yeah. Back from Vegas.
Still drunk.
Yeah. As you should be.
If you're not, you're doing it wrong. We'll be like, we know it's on the arcade. We're not doing
it. It's spiked.
Yeah. Man, you got to be careful when you say spiked around here. You might be talking about a pit full of spikes because...
There was a lot of traps. Booby traps.
Boobies and traps.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on this week. And kicking it off, kind of following up, last week we left off with, of course, Richard Ramirez dying and then floating up into the air all creepily in front of poor Rita's eyes. Mm-hmm. We get the continuation of that scene, but before we do, we first get Rita, a.k.a. Dee Dee's backstory, which is that 4 years prior, I love that they're like 1980, and we're like, wow, so long ago.
Like it was a whole decade.
Yeah, we're like, this is 1984. This was like four years ago. Yeah, like, Okay, you changed your hair like immediately after that incident. This was not a long time ago. But yeah, it turns out she is the child of a serial killer.
Wow. Right. Yeah, that was dark. Dun.
Yeah, what did you guys think of this scene where we see her follow her dad into this hotel, mm-hmm. and then it turns out that he's not cheating on mama. He's actually killing people.
Yeah, that was super creepy. First of all, the whole episode, like, overall thoughts were just, like, I was through the roof. I kind of felt a little confused, but then I was like, oh, my God, all these confessions. Like, where is the season going to go from here? But to be honest, I thought she was doing a typical woman fashion, stalking her man. Like, she was like, up, son of a bee. And I was like, oh, she caught her man cheating. And then it was like, dang, come to find out it was Pops. I'm mm-hmm. like, dang, the dad is mm-hmm. dark. And, you know, just talking about his whole thing is he's like, I'm born evil. I've always been like this. And he's always held that secret. And it was kind of dark. I was like, this is starting off crazy.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I didn't quite understand Rita's, like, motivation behind letting Mr. Jingles go and just, like, sitting there watching him. Like, I was like, okay, I know you're a psychologist, but this is a little much, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when I realized that she had ties with her dad, I was like, okay, so she has a personal stake in this, mm-hmm. and that makes a little more sense as to why she did that. So I'm glad they explained it.
Mm-hmm. I am too, and it was something that I felt was believable. What did you think, Ollie?
I mean, I kind of what Alexa just said. I think that she really loved her dad, and her dad seemed to, even though he was not defending her dad at all, but even though he's a serial killer, he still kind of had morals in a sense, because he's like, you're not supposed to see this side of me ever, mm-hmm. and this was something that he hid from her all the time, and so he even killed himself. That's why he shot himself in front of
stabbed
his daughter.
Stabbed himself.
Yeah, it was like
neck.
In the back of the neck. Oh, yeah, in like the neck.
No, it's been a couple hours, y'all. Since, okay, he stabbed himself. Sorry, thank you for correcting me. And to kind of, I don't know, keep that secret, but she kind of like still pursued kind of like her psychology and kind of finding out serial killer. So it definitely made sense as to why she did that, because she really connected with her father. And I think she just wanted more answers because she never got them because her dad killed himself.
What did you think about the continuation into this next scene that is kind of the present day, where then we have Richard Ramirez explaining that she is the daughter of pure evil, that he was truly evil incarnate, as he was saying. Can you guys hear me, by the way? I feel okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why. For some reason, in my head, it sounds like it's like I'm really far away. For some reason, I'm
no.
Like,
did
am
you
I dead? Am I like? Am I here? God, I don't know.
You don't have a pulse, Elena. You don't have a pulse.
This is purgatory. This is purgatory.
No, but did you guys capture? It was like I saw the way Rita was talking to her dad was almost how she's been talking to everybody else. Like he was like, you know, I've always been like I'm born this way, like born into evil. And she was like, nobody's born evil, Dad. And that was the same thing she told Jingles, like when they were like having the conversation. Like, nobody's born this way. Something made you that way, you know? But I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, there's some comparison, but I'm like...
Because there's this whole thing about, like, don't deny your true instincts, mm-hmm. and your true instincts are to be evil.
Right.
Like, and then this whole thing with Ramirez saying, nobody would have died tonight, basically, if you hadn't have let Jingles free. Mm-hmm. Which is also true, regardless of mm-hmm. if it was, like, Jingles' original motivation mm-hmm. or not. It's like, don't let a serial killer go so that you can watch him kill and be like, right. I'm not watching to see how it works out.
Maybe I'm doing a study. I'm conducting a study.
People are going to die, but it's okay. It's for the study. And you're a great feminist. I'll tell everyone you're a great feminist later, Brooke. I was like, what? This is so dark.
That is, like, one of the weirdest lines to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that was
like,
weird.
I'll tell everybody that you died of like a great feminist, and you're like, I know that you're trying to make a comment here, but I'm not quite sure.
Didn't she say, like, all good feminists are heroes or something like that?
Yeah,
like, she's talking about, like, the weirdest
Joan
thing.
Of Arc thing. Yeah, she's been an interesting character throughout.
To say the least.
But I feel like this is some sort of intense foreshadowing, because they wouldn't focus so much energy on showing all of this with Rita. I mean, I thought I was obviously wrong, because last week I was like, Rita's gonna die. they show her backstory. That's
flashback.
The
flashback.
Well, but Rita makes it able to talk about what makes serial killers serial killers. So, mm-hmm. like, I went and I did a little bit of research on all the serial killers ever. And, like, you know, they all start out, I wouldn't say most of them are normal. They all start out with effed up families and go from there. And I mean, some of them also have mental illnesses. So it's just it allows us to delve in deeper with mm-hmm. Rita. Like, she allows us to talk about what makes serial killers serial killers.
I kind of feel like Rita's the glue.
Yeah,
because it's like it almost like started with her, so now I feel like it has to like end with her. Something's gonna happen towards the end. I don't know if it's like a showdown or like, I don't know, maybe like her and Margaret. Who knows?
I mean, we definitely see this whole thing, and I mean, this mirrored kind of psychology that we've mm-hmm. seen in real life throughout history of the idea of there being a serial killer gene and mm-hmm. people right. researching to see, like, is this a genetic thing?
Right.
Is
right.
this a precursor, or is this all, you know, nature versus nurture and this whole debate? And they literally have the nature versus nurture debate in the woods in nature. And yeah. I'm like,
a little on the nose, guys. And they're like, it's not on the nose. It's on the ears. We take ears. It's totally different. It's not.
But Rita, yeah, it is interesting to see this, too, because we see her confess. Mm-hmm. to Montana and to Xavier, and then immediately thinks that they're going to be cool with it.
I know.
And it's like, if the three of us band together, then we'll all survive. And Xavier, he's like, rightfully, he's like, nah, I feel extra stabby. You right. burned my face off, and now I'm going to be in podcasting forever. And what kind of life is this?
That's offensive. But isn't that interesting? But isn't that a really interesting concept of how she... I guess can be deemed as a serial killer herself, but then like by her confessing, that turns Xavier into a killer. I mean, he did a mercy killer, but now he wants to kill her, and then mm-hmm. he kind of, jumping ahead, he does something to someone else, and so it kind of makes him into a killer as well. And so is he bad now that he's kind of stooping to her level? So
it creates another conversation. I think it's just a matter of like revenge. Yeah, killer. I was going to say, it's like a matter of revenge. He's not going to be on the cover of TV Guide. Like, we have to give him a little slack.
Because whether she means to or not, this is now the impetus to having another killer. So with Jingles, mm-hmm. we see when she talks to him later on, when he comes and mm-hmm. catches her when she's running from Xavier, who's trying to stab her to right. death, then Jingles confesses, I didn't kill anybody until tonight. Margaret tricked me.
Yeah.
So basically, by him believing this, Margaret has kind of created this killer. Mm-hmm. And by letting him go, Dee Dee has somewhat created this killer. And then by giving this rage to Xavier, she somewhat created this killer. So it's is she really the true evil? Is she the reason that all of these murders are happening?
I think it's Margaret. I stan Dee Dee, Donna, Rita, whatever. I love her. I love her.
Donna,
I don't care.
Dee Dee, Donna, Rita.
Dee Dee, Donna, Rita. Not her fault.
Angelica Ross can do no wrong in my eyes, so I don't care, y'all. I'm just happy she survived this episode, at least. But we're all pointing the finger at her, but what about Margaret? We'll talk about her later, but still...
Yeah, I'm more upset with Margaret, honestly. I'm very upset with Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret has to go. Pretty intense. And before we talk about Margaret, though, let's talk a little bit about Xavier, who we talked a little bit on.
Poor Xavier, I know.
I love him.
It's like, aww.
He had the best lines in this episode.
Man, okay, so he freaked out hard.
Yeah.
Like, his whole thing about, like, we have to burn everything down. We have to burn it down. And then, what was the line that he said? He's already been burned with the intensity of a thousand... I have breathed... They're like, take a breath, Xavier. I have breathed the fire of a thousand white hot suns. And it's like, okay.
I feel that.
I know, I was like, whoa.
Such a vivid comparison.
And then for like the 80s cheesy lines later on when he's talking to Jingles, he's like, when you put me in that oven, you cooked up your worst nightmare, a-hole. Like, what an 80s cheesy line.
He definitely deserved to die after that.
Oh, come on.
You're saying.
You know what?
I'm yet to be the biggest Xavier fan. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I just think he's funny. He's the funniest character.
I think he's funny. And it is kind of sad, too, when he wakes up and he, you know, asks Montana, like, hey, did this work? Did my plan work? And they're like, no one's coming, bro. We knocked you out. You didn't light anything on fire. Like, your whole Daenerys Targaryen moment.
It was weird when he started talking about, like, the birdie situation. He's like, no, I didn't. Yeah. What did he say? Like, he was like,
no, birdie, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, and it was like, what did he do?
The porn flashback that they talked about.
Either that
her stabbing her, because remember he was like, I don't want to do it, and she's like, no, like, you know,
just... he doesn't want to kill Birdie, he doesn't want to murder her.
Poor little woo woo.
That makes more sense. Yeah, he doesn't want to kill Chef Birdie. I'm thinking
he's
that
having
it's
flashbacks.
Like, he's just having a whole mix of like everything's gone awry. But yeah, things really go awry for him when he first has this dope ass archery moment where he's like, oh, what's up? Really, Jingles? You're going for Margaret? I played Robin Hood in 1979. Thanks to Camp Redwood, I'm back in character. Shoot, shoot, shoot. And did not work out well for him because then he goes to save Margaret and Margaret just stabs him and right down the
center.
She's
like, I feel totally fine.
Honestly, what do you guys think at this point?
We watched Jingles kill so many people. We watched Ramirez kill so many people. And even with all of those deaths, every single time Margaret kills somebody, it's always way worse for me. I'm just like, oh, you bitch. Like, I was just like, oh, you jerk.
Her killing Xavier was just the icing on the cake. Get Margaret out. No, that
We're
was
still
the icing
talking
on the cake.
No. I'm still thinking about that cake. I'm like... next week I'm
like,
hey.
Like her killing a Chet,
that's what I was okay so next going into her next murder, aka farewell Chet
by Chet.
We said by Chet watching it. We were like, by Chet.
It was the best
we didn't even get a Chet episode backstory.
I know
we might get
I feel
later.
Like we will
he's gonna come back.
So okay, kind of talking about this. So this sets up where there's this whole plan where Margaret's like, okay, so there's some campers across the lake. Let's go see if they have a vehicle.
Yeah.
My conniving thing. Really, I'm just trying to get you all alone one by one so I can kill you. And I'm going to tell you this word for word. Like, I'm going to confess my evil plan.
Literally,
like,
the whole episode was that. Montana later on. I know we're going to get there. But every single killer, before they go after their victim, are like, let me tell you why I'm killing you.
I know.
It's going to happen in 2 minutes from now, but let me tell you all the reasons why you deserve to die. And it's like, this is a lot. Every single one of them.
Chet was in a rough situation. It was an either or situation.
Oh my god. I have one for later too, in another death. Yeah.
Oh, that makes me happy. I'm excited about this like bot countdown here. And also, I know I didn't tease it at the beginning of the episode as fully as I should have, but be sure to stick around for the whole episode, because not only will we be breaking down everything that happened, all of our opinions on it, as we have been for half the show, but we'll also give our predictions and our slashback special segment where we'll talk about some scenes that may have been specifically kind of mirrored from some slasher movies.
Absolutely.
That we've seen out in the 70s, 80s, particularly the 80s.
Let's not forget our viewers, too. We'll shout out a couple of you guys, too. Shout out to our most popular Billie Jean Girl 24, Tony Bacagaloopy. Sorry, I butchered that. Inez, Lieutenant Blanco, Kayla Wilson. Ooh, another Kayla. Hey, girl. We'll shout out more later, you guys. We have so much to talk about.
Yeah, so now that we're all here in the same boat, the murder
boat. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Let's get out the boat.
We're drowning in them.
Can I just say that Chet's been through it the worst tonight?
Yes, he
had the worst death. He got impaled earlier, and now he has to drown. He gets his ear chopped off, obviously.
I felt so bad for
Drowns,
Chet.
Gets his face beaten in by the oar. Come on, y'all. And we still didn't get that. And, like, I love their conversation, too, because I feel like Margaret was kind of reading him.
Yeah.
She was saying, oh, there's a dark secret with you, basically. Mm-hmm. And, like, something behind your, like, masculinity. So she really was, like, kind of digging deep into him, and he was just kind of like,
F you, Margaret.
Yeah! And then got beaten us.
What did you think about this? Because to me, it felt like Chet was... basically Chet's gay, and she was saying I can tell the difference between a real man and a fake
See,
man.
No,
I
feel like he's trans.
I think he's either gay or trans,
right.
And she's and because we're supposed to hate her so much, and in that moment, that's when you're like, oh, you.
That's when I completely got that out.
I definitely thought, I was like, you said gay, and I was like, I was definitely thinking it may
which
be like
a
trans
which is highly
scene.
Offensive to a trans man saying they're not a real man.
Oh, my God.
If that is
offensive.
Yeah, if that is the case with Chet's character.
And I'm hoping that we do get some Chet backstory at some
absolutely
point, too.
Yeah.
Chet
it.
Just disappears, and I'm going to be real pissed.
I know. He was
I'm
so
like,
sweet.
I won't say it yet, but I'm like, I'll wait till the predictions to say what I was going to say. But
you don't want to say that we should dive in more for Chet?
I mean, I would dive in more for Chet. I would have dived in. I felt bad for Chet because it was like, it was such a painful death. You know what I mean? I feel like in death, I just want to go fast. Like, I don't want it to be somebody crushing my fingers. Yeah. I'm gasping for air. I'm holding onto the boat. I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it was
drowning,
such a fight.
Drowning or choking is like my worst nightmare.
Oh my goodness, yes.
To me though, I'm like, this poor boy, how is he even moving anyway? I'm like, you were just impaled violently.
I blame
on
Montana. Montana was the one who volunteered him to go with.
Well, I blame the steroids.
He's probably on steroids, so he's like the Hulk right now. He can't feel anything. Like,
maybe that's what she's referencing. Maybe she's saying you put on this masculinity, but maybe it's steroids too. Could be.
Well, didn't they just impale him with the freaking like adrenaline? So
yeah,
he might
give him a bunch of adrenaline, Pulp Fiction style. That was the reference that we were like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, the biggest moment from Pulp Fiction. Good job, me." But to kind of diving into to the real meat of this story now.
Mm-hmm. The meat.
To leave the meat behind and talk about the meat of the story. Ray. Oh, man. So, Brooke kind of has a few things going on. First with Ray and then with Montana. Mm-hmm. But first we'll talk about her relationship.
Brooke really got ahead of herself.
Was that it? Yeah. Was that what you were
was one
for?
Of them. I'm trying to make it like more PG.
Holding that in the holster, huh?
She like, definitely got, you know, I don't want to say it. national television, but I mean, it has to do with head.
We're all adults here.
There
we
go. She definitely.
She got ahead of herself, right? She got more head than she was expecting.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
That's a little spicy.
He worded it better than I did. Good job.
I can't take the full credit for that. That was all her.
Teamwork makes the dream work when we're making veiled innuendo.
We're all adults here. 21 and over kids.
So we see Brooke see Ray, and she runs out to go see what's up with him, and he's like, I'm foggy, I was on Trevor's bike, and then I've been walking a lot, I don't know. And I love the line, like, did you hit your head or something? And it's like, or something. Yeah, am I right? Am I right?
Yes, you're so right.
Sorry, I just love that. The writers were doing that the or, in the room to each other. Yeah, I don't know. Just, like, we're the best. But then they go to, they hear the jingling of the keys. So they're like, we gotta hide from jingles. Let's go hide in the dining hall because we need to see some more of this cool camp. Before we leave it, I guess.
I know.
So they go to hide from Jingles, and we get this whole backstory with Brooke about how she's basically been watering herself down. And we thought that Joseph Kavanaugh, Joey, her fiance, was kind of a dick to begin with, because, I mean, he murdered Sam.
Oh, he was definitely a dick.
Yeah, I mean, he was, like, obviously the worst. But now we find out that he's been the worst since she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
She's known this kid. She hasn't loved him, which I think is a big hint. Like, she wasn't sure if she really loved this guy or not. Mm-hmm. And then Ray's like, I can, you know, relate because I've done stuff. You guys remember the last episode when we talked about all that, right? Brooke doesn't know about it, but, like, you guys do, right? So here's a little reference to that to the audience at home, right? And she's like, hey, you know what we should do? Go down to Pound Town.
Because
it's like,
she was like, I just want to live. He's like,
let's live then.
It was dives like, in. Guys, think about this. About, I mean, having some, like, literal sex to die for.
Ooh. Well, I like that Brooke was the one to have sex for a change instead of Montana. Because she's supposed to be our final girl, quote unquote. And, you know, final girl is supposed to be, like, the plain Jane, not having sex. So I love how they kind of gave it. You know, I also shipped kind of Brooke and Ray at the beginning because I was like, there's something between those two. And I didn't.
You boated
I didn't think it was going to. I boated them. Oh my gosh. There's another one for you. But I was happy that they kind of like got that little shit moment for them, even though Ray's dead. But I also love the line that Ray said. And I don't think it kind of made me see a new side of Ray. He said, don't feel like you have to change to fit into the world. Mm-hmm. And I honestly got a little teary eyed when I watched that. I was like, that's I felt so that. True. And I just, I made me respect Brooke a little bit more too, because even though she's been kind of like downplayed, she's been downplaying herself. And her ex-fiance downplayed her. I think it was so cool to kind of see her kind of like move to LA to not become like somebody. It was to kind of become like anybody in a sense. And I think we're so used to seeing that character move to LA to become a star, and Brooke's completely the opposite of that, and I thought that was so refreshing.
And this idea that she's still trying to find herself, which is a deeper parallel that she doesn't even realize with Ray until she discovers his head in the fridge. And now he's literally trying to figure out what his new home is, not just symbolically, but he's like, that's my decapitated head in the fridge. What's up?
I kind of felt bad for Brooke a little, just a little bit, because...
She got it in.
One, it was almost like a full circle thing, because I remember episode one, I definitely said that Ray was that person who wanted to fit in, and he was always kind of like that character, and I'm glad he went back and established that he kind of always wanted to fit in with the fraternity and like everybody in college and stuff like that. But going back to Brooke, I kind of felt bad for her, because in her moment, she was saying that her whole life she felt like she was a nobody, but then it was like, Ray is pretty much a ghost, so it was like she was talking to herself, so it's like, you're still almost like a nobody because nobody's there. So it's like, nobody, she still has like nobody there for her, but it's like,
he's there in spirit. Anyway,
we're funny tonight.
So yeah, so we have this whole thing.
Well, heat
on fire, man. I'm fire. Xavier in the group. I'm telling y'all. But yeah, so we have this whole thing with Ray, where it turns out Ray's actually dead, and then he finally, at the end of everything, is like, "Oh, okay, you know, this cop just walked by with my decapitated head in a bag. It's like, we found a body without a head." Further away, maybe this head goes with that body. And they're like, well, sort it out at the morgue. Don't worry about it. Very weird situation where this guy's, like, eating. And then they had, I don't know. They had, like, what looked like a food bag next to, like, the bag of, like, head.
It's a sack of lunch.
But Ray thinks that he can leave by getting in this ambulance. He's so excited about the idea of going home. The second he drives out of the camp in the ambulance, he is left there. And Jonas informs him, this is your new home. What did you guys think of this whole situation? I mean, we've seen basically what we thought was that they can't leave the camp, but Jonas was able to walk out into the street past the camp, so I'm kind of confused as to what the rules are.
I think probably if you have the intention of leaving for good, you're always going to get brought back to that point. But Jonas was just like kind of wandering. I mean, he wasn't trying to leave. He was just wandering in the woods. However, I do have to say that freaking Ray didn't even stand up for Brooke after he porked her and saw her in the freaking police car and was like, didn't even say, hey, she's innocent. Like, I mean, I guess he didn't watch her kill Montana, but at the same time, like, why is she being taken away in a cop car? Like, I would have... If I were Ray, I would have said something.
He was so confused, but at the same time, in typical Ray fashion, he's not going to get, like, he's involved. All about himself. Exactly. Like, he's all about himself.
I think that's what it is, he kind of also as a ghost, like, we've seen Jonas kind of forget.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's not even just a self-centered. I think it's just, like, they don't know because he's so foggy and he's so confused. And the longer it goes on that he's dead, like, Jonas has no idea that he's dead, but he also doesn't even know who he is or where he is or why he's there. So I'm thinking at this point, Ray's only focus is, I want to go home. I don't even know who... There's a chick in a cop car. Cool. There's a bunch of stuff happening. What's going on? Like,
I don't know, man, because we saw a little blip of the next episode and they seem like they have their full awareness. Cognizant. Yeah.
I wonder if it just takes time. I don't know.
Because he also was by himself this whole time. Like, he's been like the only ghost. Like, he's been wandering by himself, which that seems to make them more, because they don't have somebody there to remind them.
Right.
Whereas now that he's with Jonas, is Jonas even had his memory triggered more, where he's like, you are home. We're dead. This is the situation that we're in. Now that you're here with me, that triggers my mentality that, oh, yeah, this is our situation. This
it was almost like on. Hotel Cortez vibes. Like, it, you yeah. can't leave. Like,
well, it was literally out of freaking Murder House with Violet when Violet was trying to, they took yeah. her out of the house. Yeah. But then she was, she went
always
back.
Yeah, yep. she was always back at
home.
She
that's been just kind dead. Of a recurring thing with right. American Horror Story is
little
like,
Easter egg.
You're trapped, boo boo. yeah. You ain't going anywhere. And also, you're going to see your own body and it's going to be very traumatic.
I just love how Ryan just sprinkles in like other stuff from other seasons. So we're like connecting everything. Everything's yeah. like little puzzle pieces. Like,
this one has been kind of the most isolated, I think, of the seasons, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah.
Because this one, while it did have some other references that we'll talk about as well, seems to have less. So I'm interested to see if maybe that changes next episode since it's mm-hmm. the 100th. But talking about Brooke and Montana.
Oh, yes.
The showdown to end all showdowns. Dun, dun, dun. They have this kind of Tom and Jerry back and forth throughout this whole episode. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. this whole thing after Montana sends Chet away, and she goes and gets the axe, and while Brooke's looking and seeing Ray, and then the moment where she's like, oh, yeah, keep that close, and then runs out. I mean, what did you guys think about this kind of tete-a-tete that they keep having where then they would throw in and it sees, you know, the post-bone freak out where she's like, are you real? Are you alive? What's yeah. happening? And then she's like, I'm, you know, don't worry, you'll be leaving soon, and KOs her, and we just keep having them kind of reunited until we have this big epic fight mm-hmm. that then is first 20 minutes before sunrise, leading all the way into sunrise. Mm-hmm.
Which, and, by the way, longest night ever.
That was such the longest. We were talking about that.
We were. I did want to mention that at least once in this episode. That was how the longest. Long this night has been.
It's been a pretty intense. I was like, I mean, we've for been them, definitely.
I'm like, we've been waiting on the kids for how long?
Yeah.
Now? I'm like, it has to be like 2 a.m. at this point.
Hey, there were some flashbacks sprinkled in there. You know, yeah, help you stretch know. It a little
it
bit.
Took us off the trail.
Honestly, I thought it was smart writing to have it like you know, Brooke get to the point where she's about to kill her but doesn't, and I just thought it was really cool. It was a little tease
they
here
beat
and there.
The crap out of each
oh,
other.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
The sound effects, but I was completely here for it. I was Team Brooke, honestly. Like, Billie Lourd's killing it as Montana, but I wanted to see her die. Like, and I was. I'm sorry, I'm morbid, but I was so ready for Brooke to just take her down.
I was gonna say, I kind of was like on the underdog side. You know how it's like typical people are like, eh, Montana's probably gonna kill off Brooke, but I was like, no, I think Brooke is probably gonna like flip something and kill off Montana. And it was like, clearly it was like, no, she flipped her over. It's just sad that the kids had to see it.
Yeah. And of course, Montana the kids are made the time to tell Brooke why she was killing her.
Yeah, that's like the big thing. It's her thing. Whole thing. The only person who ever really got me and loved me was my brother, and you killed him.
Sam's your brother?
Everyone. Sam, what? This is so...
so dramatic.
It felt
so
very, dramatic. Like, soap opera yes. at that moment, but, like, the most brilliant soap opera ever. Like, yeah. I felt like I was watching, like, a Passions reunion with, like, a new cast. And then,
I thought
like,
I was watching
Lord
Greek
tonight.
Theater,
oh, my God, I used to love Passions.
I know, right?
Oh, my God, I was so mad they took that off.
Doesn't feel so much like Passions? Yes. Like, what up? Shout out Mackenzie Westmore. So. Anyway, but yeah, we have this whole intense, you know, kind of almost comedic fight back and forth, then mm-hmm. ends in the scene of poor Brooke murdering Montana in front of all of these traumatized children.
They're all 98 yeah. bottles of beer on the wall.
Why are they like, thinking about beer first and foremost?
Yeah, it should have been soda pop, and exactly. maybe you wouldn't have seen somebody be murdered.
Hey, I mean, I remember seeing little bottles of beer on the wall, like, eight, you know, little field trips. I mean, we didn't know what beer was.
Loses her innocence. I mean, she already kind of did when she saw her husband get killed, or her husband, you know, killed everybody and then killed himself right in front of her. But she lost her virginity, and she became a killer before yeah. the kids watched, and she didn't traumatize them all. So I just feel like, you know, it was kind of symbolic.
She's a woman now.
Yeah.
She's a woman now.
Well, it also was this whole thing. I mean, we've seen this kind of tragic story with Jingles, and then we have Brooke, mm-hmm. who we have not had any sort of, you know, this is part of the evil that's intrinsically inside you. Like, Ramirez has been going to just about everybody being like, Satan's my homeboy, he thinks I'm awesome. Like, just in case you didn't think I was cool with my, like, dope pants and my hair, Satan thinks I'm cool. So, just in case you didn't know, he told me. He has not gone to, like, kind of say Brooke has this evil inside of her at all. So, it's interesting that there's this kind of parallel with Jingles, where Margaret blamed the first murder on him and is now doing the same thing to Brooke. So mm-hmm. I wonder if he's going to be somewhat her
rescuer, protector,
her yeah. like savior, or ooh. If we're going to have maybe a situation because everybody feels the need to confess everything before they kill somebody. Maybe Chet's not really dead, and maybe Chet can shine some light on.
Yeah, I was wondering, where's Chet? Is he a ghost now too?
Yeah. See, I was wondering. I was going to say that we don't see him as a ghost, so it's like unless he's just like I'm a water ghost, which would be the saddest thing.
Yeah. Well, didn't Jingles already come? He came to Brooke's aid already. He already protected.
He's already
her.
Helped her. Yeah. So I'm
but see,
wondering.
how would Jingles even come back? Him and Richard are riding into the sunset on the way to L.A.
So this is where we leave the episode. We have where the ghosts come back. We have Montana shoots this cop because she's like, you know, you think they'll give me the chair? Agree to disagree. I can do whatever I want. that was spot on.
Definitely.
Montana, by the way. And I do love that there are these little references that she has too when she's like, the Ghostbusters, like, there is no Montana, only Zool.
I know, that was great.
I was like,
they're looking at her like, what the hell?
Yeah, and then her whole thing of, like, we can be gods here, and this idea of...
Props to her for making a good thing out of a bad situation.
Yeah, of course Montana would see the best in a bad situation. The only thing that was weird to me is then, when Montana is standing there, her boyfriend, Ramirez, is in the car... with Jingles, who he's resurrected, but he doesn't resurrect Montana, who he's already had this pre-existing relationship with, right. despite the fact that he sees her. He drives off, and she's trapped there, but they're not, mm-hmm. presumably because his, like, Satan's my homeboy relationship means that he gets to leave, but everybody else doesn't. What a dick move to leave Montana, right?
Am that I is like, true.
He never really cared. Typical man. He left her hanging.
Because it seemed like he did all of this for her. So that's
right,
what
literally.
Was so weird. Yeah, it's like he separated from his own murder spree to come here and do this whole separate thing. So that was the only thing that was odd to me.
Like, also, Jingles is like a half-assed murderer. He's like only a murderer because he was, you know, manipulated to be a murderer. So
I don't ship them together. I was kind of bummed seeing them together at the end of the episode. I was thinking that it was maybe Rita stole a car or something, but it turned out to be Richard. And so, yeah, that kind of baffled me at the
end. Why would you not... Oh, Margaret's still alive. I was like, why did you not resurrect Margaret?
I kind of wonder, like, was, like, Jingles the only one able to get out because Richard was like, are you ready to, like, donate yourself to Satan? Like, pretty much, are you ready to give yourself to Satan? Yeah. And I think he obviously said yeah. So it's like, he got to leave, but it's like, he didn't ask anybody else. I don't know. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out why certain people are still left on the camp, but certain people can get out.
Yeah, because it's like, if the whole thing is you are the seed of pure evil to Dee Dee, mm-hmm. and then it's also like, you're the twisted love of my life to Montana, then why is he like, hey,
Jingles,
man, middle-aged man who didn't really want to be
too.
Here. You want to win me? Like, hop in this car.
I kind of thought it was like, maybe people who had like evil or hate in their heart stayed at the camp, but I'm like, no, because how do you explain Jonas?
No.
Yeah, because Jonas was just like I got murdered and I didn't know what was going on. And Ray was like, I don't really have hate in my heart. I just feel bad about what happened to
Ray's
this guy.
Definitely evil, though. No, like, he's super... he's maybe, all about himself. He let his little friend die when he wasn't even dead.
Just, maybe he just saw that Jingles knows how to murder really well, so therefore...
They're gonna be buddies. Well, I think it's the whole point. I know this is more predictions. I think the reason why Jingles left with what's-his-face, Richard, is because Jingles still needs his revenge against Margaret, and Margaret's gonna be free, so in a sense Jingles need to leave the camp, because Jingles is dead, right? So Jingles mm-hmm. needs to sell his soul to Satan, or become his homeboy, as you were talking, in order to kill Margaret, because Margaret needs to die. I don't care what anyone
Absolutely.
Says. Margaret needs to die by the hands of Jingles. I know that's predictions, but...
But it's also like Montana didn't get her revenge either, though.
She
really?
Because
it's
does
like
she didn't.
Yeah, well, the whole point was she was like
trying to get Brooke.
Yeah. I feed off of revenge, and Ramirez was like, "That's way hot because mm-hmm. Satan's into that." I'm like,
she's fine. She's happy being at Redwood for the rest of eternity.
Sure. Yeah, she's like, I can make it work for me. It's all good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, talking a little bit about our predictions. Do you guys want to roll into some predictions?
Ooh. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, normally I would save this for the very, very end, but because next week is the 100th I felt like we should just dive right into this because I think this is going to be a huge episode next week. It's the 100th episode of American Horror Story ever. And it seems like we, based on the next week on, it's just going to be the ghosts super stoked on being murdery ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I felt like is loss of stakes. I don't really care so much about ghosts.
Do you think it'll be like a filler episode? In a sense.
I hope not.
I think that they're going to use this ghost opportunity to bring other seasons back into it.
Oh.
I think.
Because it's already, like, we've seen it in Murder House and mm-hmm. Hotel.
Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they want.
Which is, like, cool, but also I want to see how different they're going to take it this season. Because it's like, yeah, let's have that, you know, like, harken back to those seasons, but let's make it a little different and fresh and maybe explain a little bit more as to why this particular, like, campgrounds is the way that it is. So I know there are a lot of people in the chat and the comments who are thinking like it's on like the ancient Indian burial ground or something like that. I've seen that comment before. So I'm wondering if there's maybe a backstory to these lands. Feel free to start talking. Because right now I'm just rambling. I would really like to see Chet's dead ghost because I think he is dead. I hope he's just not like stuck in the water. He has to swim.
Chet's dead.
He's hanging onto the boat.
I think that Chet survived. I think that he was able to free himself from his chains, and I think that now he is going to be super angry and murdery.
Maybe he was going for the Olympics as a swimmer.
Oh,
I don't know.
I thought he was an Olympic lifter, but
I thought he was a track runner. I don't know. I assumed.
What up, Chet?
I don't know. To be honest, like the last little clip scene of like, oh, next season. I mean, next episode or whatever. It kind of left me confused. I was like, are we into ghosts now? I'm like Alexa. I'm like, is Ryan leaving us with ghosts? But Ryan's never predictable, so it's like I don't even know what the hell could happen next episode.
I just think that they're gonna use it to bring in the other seasons.
I do have to say, one way they could potentially do it too is we've seen this whole kind of recurring theme of this demon baby and the spawn of Satan being born of a dead person having sex with a living person, which we saw in Murder House. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if the fact
that Brooke's little alien babies,
if it's gonna be some alien babies that are maybe demon babies, like some sort of something going on, if it's either a tie-in with the alien or some sort of tie-in with Apocalypse, because
what was the little girl's name? Yeah, because she was like a little mixed. She was like a little mixed
girl.
Yeah,
there was her.
Like...
There was the two kids. But the thing is, they were the children of the alien with the two women that
Kit was married to.
Yeah,
you're right.
So it wasn't those two kids. But we do know that because we've seen before in Apocalypse that the baby that is born of the Murder House baby ultimately is what triggers the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, if you haven't seen Apocalypse, don't listen. The apocalypse doesn't happen. As evidence by the fact that there's still a season this season.
Yeah.
But there's this whole allusion to maybe it could if there is another situation where there is a baby born of a dead person and a living woman. So maybe Brooke is going to have the Antichrist baby.
Ooh. I kind of felt weird. They were, like, doing it, and when, like, at the end, when they were, like, wrapping up, I thought she was going to be like, you were so cold, but, like, didn't say anything about him being cold. Because he's
Which
dead,
is ironic, but... because he was in a freezer.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I feel thirsty.
And then he moves over to her and goes, can I keep you, Casper style?
Yeah, aww.
I mean, she
and then Devin Saw was like, don't take my line, bro.
She should have
like,
just...
Final destination, yeah. And other things started happening.
She should have just said, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't
feel anything.
That would have really, you know... Took a blood of his ego.
It almost was like that though, because she was like, "Well, I don't really know what it's supposed to feel like." And so I was like,
"And he's like, I'm the ghost with the most, baby."
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen.
I'm honestly interested to know Brooke's feelings on ghost sex. Like, I want her to talk about that moment more. Like, I just want to know.
She's gonna go tell everybody
know about ghost sex.
I'd take that to the grave with me. I wouldn't tell anybody.
Take that to the grave. Unfortunately, nothing stays in the grave here because everyone comes back. Which actually brings us to our special segment that we're calling Slashback.
Ooh.
Oh, Alexa, bring us home. Okay. Tell us about that slash bite.
So we picked out so Chet's death. Obviously, he gets thrown off the boat in chains and is drowning. Very much like Jason Voorhees does in Friday the 13th. So it was kind of like shot for shot almost, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Absolutely. We had Sunday the 13th and Ooh. Friday the 11th this month, so not really the same. But
that was the bootleg version. Close. We're the great value version.
The great value version. Yeah, and that's what makes me think that maybe he's not dead, because Jason keeps coming back, you know?
Yeah. Ooh. It'd be nice if he didn't die. Just one person still alive, not a ghost.
I feel like since we haven't seen his ghost, like, it makes me think that Chet's not dead.
We also haven't seen Trevor's ghost, right?
Ooh.
We haven't seen Trevor's ghost, too.
I want Chet to still be alive, y'all. Don't get me wrong. But
Chet is like the AHS sweetheart right now.
Really
like America's
is.
Sweetheart. It's like Chet is like AHS sweetheart.
Like, Lord Chet.
He's the only one who hasn't killed anyone that we know of. Right? Am I the only right?
Yeah.
Right? Everyone else has killed
like,
someone.
I'm like, that we know of.
Right?
So basically, we got Chet regret.
Chet regret.
You're so funny.
Before we roll out of here, any little pieces of news and gossip this week that you guys want to discuss?
TV news.
I know I had one little piece. Billy Lord, if you guys check out her Instagram, she posted today that AHS is back. So is Backstreet Boys. And then she lip syncs to Backstreet Boys in her makeup chair, Backstreet's back.
Oh, hell yeah.
And does a full-fledged rock out. Yeah, rock your body, Billy.
She's so
Backstreet's
cute.
Back. All that. Now watch this freak out. What? I love her.
She's awesome. I live for Billie.
I love that she basically was like, don't worry, Montana's coming back, like, as Montana is dying in this episode. And it was like, we didn't even know that you posted a spoiler. Your spoiler was so veiled. your veiled spoiler posting.
I'm like, before we get out of here, Elena, let's, you know, go back to shouting out some viewers, because there's so many more people in our chat this time. I'm like, let's see some definitely new names. Shout out to Morgan Keppel Whiskey. Carla Xenestel. Sorry, you guys. I'm like butchering names right now. Craze Gamer. Inez. Shout out to Nagat Andawan. Bria James. Bella Wim Muhammad. Shout out to our regulars. Rinji 90998. Billy Girl 24. We said that earlier. Lieutenant Blanco.
Shout out to all you guys. Absolutely. Chew before we roll out.
Ooh, give it to us, Elena.
Anybody who's been wondering about Evan Peters and his absence, because he said he is going to be sitting out this season. He confirmed finally why he is not going to be in the show.
Do tell.
We were kind of thinking, you know, with him calling off the engagement with Emma Roberts, there's probably, you know, tensions. We thought it might be something personal on side. Very incorrectly said some things about guns.
I thought he was going to another job.
This is the thing. It turns out that apparently it really, really weighs on him to do this show because the material is so dark and gritty and so intense that he says while he loves it, it's, quote, it's just exhausting. It's really mentally draining, and you don't want to go to those places ever in your life, and you have to go there for the scenes, and it ends up integrating it somehow into your life. So he didn't say he will not be back. He just said he wanted to take this season off to kind of clear his head and have an emotional breather.
I respect that, though, because I'm like, to be honest, I would have loved to see him as like one of the camp counselors with everybody else. Like, that would have been super dope. But at the same time, I get it, though. Like, it's so many actors that I've watched and, you know, studied so many interviews, you know, being hosts and stuff. But it's like, in these dark, scary movies and stuff, you literally have to channel either some like type of trauma, you know what I mean? Or like, you, as an actor, you just pretty much have to fake it till you make it, you know what I mean? Like, to get that role. So it's like, I see where he's coming from. And it's like, most people don't know how to switch that off. So that probably could have played a role with him and Emma too. Like, they're both in American Horror Story. They've been there for so long that it's like, they probably felt they've had moments where they were kind of like getting at each other, like saying dark and scary things. And they were like, wait,
let's take a step back because this is kind of like interfering with our lives right now. Right. So
well,
I
for
respect
him
it.
Too, because it's like he's been on the show.
Yeah,
for
he's
like
been
eight
the dark,
years.
Like in the darkest characters too. Yeah. So it's
and
like cult,
dark
like
characters
yeah, exactly.
It's like he's right. been many a deranged man, but
for sure.
And
so.
Sarah, but we love it.
Sarah Paulson also had a yes. similar interview as well, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she's taking a break.
This, though, I don't want to. Going a little bit back to my prediction, so I think that she is going to be back. I think she's going to be back as Vonna Winters, and I think that she's going to interview. I think so.
Oh.
I think so. I think so. I think
ooh,
so.
I like that. I want that.
But before we say our farewells, I know everybody wants to keep up with you guys too. So
absolutely,
where can everybody find you guys on the internet?
Alexa, you can find me on Instagram at Alexa Cappy, CAPPY.
You guys can find me on Instagram at @theonly_KaylaRenee. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Catching K, and that's Catching with the K.
Yes, guys, you can follow me, Ollie, at Ollie Dreamer on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can find me on MEA Worldwide every week interviewing your favorite celebrities. And you'll find us all back here next week celebrating the 100th episode Woo! Of American Horror Story. We'll see you guys then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.